and worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Tax season is in the rearview mirror. And hopefully you got your taxes filed on time and that those are, hopefully you got a refund. If you had to pay, sorry about that. Everything goes okay, but it's always a good thing to have that behind you. I know when I get my taxes done, I like to get them done early. That way, if I do have to pay, then I got weeks to do before, or weeks to figure out how I'm going to pay that before I get them done. So we like to get ours done really, really early. But we do want to thank you for tuning into the radio program today and pray that you are going to be blessed. My name is Bob Arthurs. You're tuned into 91.5 FM. WMIE, Today's Modern Worship, right here in Cocoa, Florida. You may also be listening on WWBC 1510 AM in Cocoa, Florida as well. We want to go to the Word of God today. This is the Passion Week. This is, we're working towards Resurrection Sunday. Resurrection Sunday. I'm going to be preaching part three of a message on this coming Sunday at this day. And This week, it's not going to be this day could change everything. This day did change everything. This day did change everything. And so we'd love to have you come out and be a part of what God is doing. God is so good to us, and he's better to us than we deserve. And we're looking forward to a time of celebration. This coming Sunday, our service times are a little bit different. We have a breakfast, a fellowship breakfast, beginning at 9:30. That will culminate about 10:15 of a morning, and then we're going to go into worship, and we're going to celebrate the resurrection and what that means for us. So we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. If you do not have a church home, we'd love to have you visit with us. Our church address is 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. You can reach us on the phone at 321-454-4263. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I am the pastor of Merritt Assembly of God, and look forward to meeting you in the days to come. Mark chapter 8 is where we're going to be today. We're going to be talking about, over the next few days, some of the things that happened to people as God led them. I don't know if you like motivational type things in your life or faith building, but as I want to share these biblical accounts with you of things that actually happened in people's lives, that you would see that when God is leading you, that he's not going to lead us into temptation. He is going to deliver us from evil, and hopefully you'll want God to have an active role of leadership in your life. So let me take you to the Gospel of Mark today, the second book in the New Testament, Mark chapter 8. Going to begin reading in verse number 22. Mark chapter 8, verse number 22. Says this, "Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, 'I see men like trees walking.' Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, 'Neither go into the town nor to tell anyone in the town.'" So here we find that Jesus, once he enters the town of Bethsaida, that some people who knew that Jesus was doing miracles, they bring a blind man to him. And these people were begging Jesus to touch him and heal him. Now, you need to understand that if you were blind in that society, that there wasn't a social safety net like we have in America. There wasn't any disability income or anything like that. You literally depended upon the kindness and the generosity of other people in order for you to survive. And so these people, in bringing this man to Jesus, they were not just looking for his eyesight to be restored. This was going to revolutionize his life. Now, I will tell you that this is something that can happen to young people. It can happen to old people. It almost happened to me. I had a detached retina, did not know it. And when the ophthalmologist first saw me, she said, "You should have come and seen me days ago." It's like, you know, nobody told me that detached retinas were a possibility. And so I think, let me just throw this out there to you as a little bit of pastoral wisdom. And that is, you need people around you that have gone through the stages you haven't gone through yet. You need to have some people around your life that have experienced some things that you haven't experienced, because they can prepare you. And, you know, a lot of times the generation that is younger, they always think that they're smarter than their predecessors. In reality, we haven't experienced a lot of the things that our predecessors have experienced before. And so we need to have some people who've gone through some things that we haven't gone through, so that they could give us some wisdom, some insight on things to anticipate as we're entering that next season of our life. Conversely, we also need to have some people in our life that are lagging behind us a little bit on the timeline, so that we could help to disciple them and prepare them and equip them for some of the things that they may face. Now, both of those things, if you do them unsolicited, it's not going to be productive in your life. But if we build relationship with people to where the wisdom that we're sharing takes place in an organic manner, it takes place on the foundation of a solid relationship, then it's all of a sudden it's a whole lot easier to receive, if it's done in the right way. So I just want to say that to you. These people wanted this man's life to be radically transformed. Restoration of his eyesight was not just going to allow his life to get a little bit easier. It was going to enable and empower him to be a productive member of society once again. And I believe that God is able and God is willing to do that. But please understand that, you know, when his eyesight restored, that beggar garment's got to go. I don't know about you, but I really want God to restore things in my life that empowers me and equips me so that I can function the way that he designed me to function. So Jesus responds to their request, and he takes the blind man and he leads him out of the town. And then he begins to operate in a manner in which is out of the ordinary. You know, you start looking at this passage and it's like, ooh, gross. And I cannot explain to you exactly the method that he used as to why he takes some of the spittle from his mouth and he puts it on his eyes and he puts his hands on him and he asked him if he saw. And that's not something. Listen, I'm not going to be doing that at Merit Assembly of God unless God tells me to. You know, I'm going to anoint with oil. I'm going to pray the prayer of faith. The Lord's going to raise you up. But for some reason, on this occasion, Jesus anointed his eyes with the fluids that came from his mouth. Now, I don't know about you, but I am thankful for the words that come out of Jesus' mouth. I'm thankful for the breath that God has provided from his mouth, that he breathed into Adam and Adam became a living being. I am thankful. We need to remember that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So the things that come from God's mouth are life-giving. They're life-sustaining, and they're healing. What I want to focus on today is that when Jesus encountered this man and he was requested to be involved in this man's life in a transformative way, Jesus begins to lead him, and he leads him to a place of healing. He leads him to a place of healing. Now, I will tell you that the devil wants to lead you to destruction, but God wants to lead you to wholeness. He wants to lead you to wholeness. Now, this passage here is one of the verses that I stand upon, that I'm still anticipating the full restoration of visual function. And I'll tell you how I'll know when that has happened. That'll happen when I put my eyeglasses on and all of a sudden I don't need the eyeglasses the way that I used to need them. I've got four different vision fields going on. I've got one eye that's nearsighted, one eye that's farsighted, and I've got all sorts of different visual combinations that are going on with the with these eyeglasses. But God gave me a promise when that retina was detached and I was literally incapacitated and having to lay in my bed face down with a special type of pillow configuration so I could still breathe. And the word of God playing in the background, you know, where, you know, people are saying, we don't know if we're going to try and save as much of your sight as we can. That's not exactly a faith building thing, until God shows up in the middle of the night and talks about having clarity of vision and the Spirit of God quickening in my spirit and saying that's not an untimely word. That is a timely word. That is a word for you. And so here Jesus begins to operate in this man's healing. And this healing is not only unusual because of the method that Jesus used, but it was also unusual in that it was a two-step miracle. It was a progressive miracle. I know that Jesus could have done this in one step, but for some reason he was doing it in two. And so when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked the man if he saw anything. Remember now, he's led him out of the city, and so he's going to be in an unusual environment. He's not going to be where on terrain that he would be normally familiar with. And Jesus says, do you see anything? And the man responds in verse number 24. He looked up and he said, I see men like trees walking. I see men like trees walking. Now, for a person who has had no vision, and now he is able to see something, that's amazing. That's amazing. This step here is kind of where my eye is right now. What do you see? I see things, and I know that they're men, but they look like trees, and I know that they're not trees because they're walking, and because they're walking, I know they're men. And so he said, I see, but I don't see with a great deal of clarity right now. And so I'm able to see clearly. I just have a compressed vision field. And so when I look, things that are right in the middle of my eye, they get squished together from left to right on a vertical scale, and it will like compress a, it would, if I was to look at the word good, it would appear in that eye like it said God. I'd see like an extra wide O there in the middle. So it's just a smidgen. And so the man responds exactly the way, or to the question that Jesus asked. And I love this. He says, then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. One of the things that I challenged our church with when it came to This Day Could Change Everything series that I'm preaching right now was, in that first message, I preached about how people are sometimes tempted to settle for partial provision instead of complete provision. Now, I don't know if you've ever worked a jigsaw puzzle, you know, one of those 500 pieces or 1,000 pieces, and they have some monster ones and all of that, but my family doesn't let me work jigsaw puzzles with them anymore because I don't like to go to bed with a project uncompleted. And so when they broke out a puzzle years ago, and they would come and they were content walking over to the table and they'd look at it and put a piece or two in. And so one night they said, hey, do you want to come over here and help us with the puzzle? And it's like, okay, well, I discovered something about my personality that night, because when they woke up the next morning, the puzzle was done. And so I try not to have puzzles out anymore, but occasionally you'll work one of these puzzles and you get all the way through and you find that there is one piece missing. And that's just really, really annoying. So what I had shared was about Hannah, that it was great that her husband loved her. It was great that he honored her. It was great that he provided for her. None of those, it wasn't an either or. Either she had her husband's love or she had a child. That wasn't going to be one of the defining moments. It wasn't an either or. She knew in her heart, by the way, Hannah, the name means favored, and she knew that God had provision, that he could provide something to her that she could turn right around and give back to him. And so I challenged our church, let's not settle for just partial provision when God is looking for us to be passionately seeking him for complete provision for all that he has for us. And so I want to join with this guy tonight and or today and say, hey, thank God I can see. But thank God I'm going to be able to see even better. What I want to do today is I want to build your faith a little bit to believe that as God leads us and guides us, that he's going to lead us to a place of wholeness. Now, some people, it's not visual compromise. Some people, it might be hearing issues. Some people, it may be skeletal issues. It might be cardiac issues. It might be pulmonary issues. Might be muscular issues or blood issues. Might be mental issues, emotional issues. There are a lot of different areas of that we can be physically or emotionally compromised. But what I want to instill in you today is a faith that says, look, I don't want to stay in this position. I want Jesus to lead me to a place that I'm going to be made whole, where I'm going to be able to testify and give God the glory for all that he has done. And so, for, first of all, we have to ask, where are we in this process? You know, are we just wallowing in our condition? Have we brought the need to Jesus? That's a very important first step. And have we surrendered to Jesus' leadership, to where he is leading us to that place where he's making our life healthier, where he's making our life more whole, and that he's leading us to that place of blessing? Listen, if Jesus is leading your life, it is going to be a glorious destination that he takes you to, that he reaches with you. Then we've got to say, you know what, God, I want to thank you for what you've already done. Amen. Don't wait. You know, as we're looking at the Passion Week, the praise preceded the price that Jesus was going to pay. When they came in with the triumphal procession, where the palm fronds were there, and everything was going glorious, and everybody was celebrating the Messiah coming to town, the praise was there, but the price was getting ready to be paid with Jesus' life a little bit later on. And so I want to encourage you today to thank God even before the miracle manifests. I thank God every day. I thank God for the ophthalmologist. I thank God for the technology that was invented. I thank God that I see better than I did. And believe me, I check it frequently. I don't check it. Occasionally, my ophthalmologist wants me to check it periodically to make sure that new problems haven't arisen. But I also check it a lot of times to see if complete healing has come. Complete healing has come. And the reality is that one day, this corruptible is going to put on incorruptibility. This mortal is going to be clothed in immortality. And that which had seen distorted is going to see clearly. And so I'm very, very thankful for that. So I'm just going to continue to believe God every day that the vision is going to get better, that your health is going to get better, that people's backs are going to be better, that diabetes is going to lose its grip, that multiple sclerosis is going to lose its grip, and that Jesus is going to restore people healthy and whole. See, I was impacted when I was a very young man. I was impacted because Jesus led my pastor to a cancer-free life when he was literally days away from death, and Jesus miraculously transitioned that situation. That was in 1966, I believe it was, 66, 67. Excuse me. And he passed away in 2018. I was impacted when a lady came and testified at our church when I was a young person about how she had a physical disability that she was born with, and Jesus healed her of that disability, and she went on to achieve great acclaim because of what God had done for her. So let's continue to believe. Let's continue to press on. And let's not settle for just partial restoration of function. Let's continue to thank God for the function we've had restored, but say, Jesus, would you touch me again? Would you touch me again? I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that I am saved. I'm thankful that I'm being saved. I'm thankful that one day I'm going to be ultimately saved when I get to spend eternity in the presence of Jesus. I am thankful that I am healed, that I am being healed, and one day I will be completely and totally healed. I am thankful for those things. It said, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Then he, Jesus, sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. Now, that's always an interesting thing, is why would Jesus tell this person, now don't say anything. Don't say anything. And here's what I believe. I believe that Jesus was telling him to go and resume a normal life, and in so doing, people are going to notice that the things that plagued you in the past are no longer plaguing you in your present. And that is going to be a great, great testimony. How did this happen? Okay. There was a time when people came to Jesus and said, you're casting out demons by Beelzebub. And his response at one point in time is this: if I'm casting out demons by Beelzebub, by whom are your people casting them out? And the reality of that situation was they weren't. They weren't. Jesus was doing miracles in his day that nobody else was doing. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I want to encourage you today, if you have not allowed Jesus to be the Lord and the leader of your life, ask him to lead you to a place that he would have you to be made whole, made functional in the body of Christ. You have a place in the body of Christ. The local church needs you. The body of Christ in Brevard County needs you. That we need your testimony. We need you being a living ambassador for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so I pray that you will allow Jesus to lead you to that place where he is going to break the power of things of our past. And we want to believe God for complete and total restoration. He's going to lead you to a place that's better for you. The devil wants to lead you to a place where you are destroyed. Jesus wants to lead you to a place where you are made whole. Father, I just pray for everyone that's listening today, God, that we would follow your lead. Lord, that we would not be suspect of your motives, but Lord, instead, we would benefit from following you, because you're going to make us whole. You're going to make us useful for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, we'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.